Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, February 14th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Hey everybody, happy Valentine's Day. And guess what? This week's show marks my fourth anniversary of podcasting. I know, isn't it fucking great? I mean, who would have guessed that we would have had such a long run? And what a year it's been, too. I launched a new podcast series last year. It's called Play With It, the Sex Education and Sex Wisdom series, both of which appear on Wednesdays, are going strong, and the Erotic Mind podcast series, which is now 3 years old, also continues to share Mondays with my traditional Q&A podcast like today's show. I have a bunch of very interesting questions from the sexually worrisome to dazzle you with today, and I also have a little bonus material to offer you in celebration of my podcast anniversary. I have yet another installment in my acclaimed sexual enrichment programming to launch us into year 5 with a bang. This week's special anniversary podcast is once again brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call your attention to a standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I am exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 4 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows, interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse, sex-positive programming on the net? And all of this always comes to you absolutely free. Okay, so right about now you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. You just mosey on over to either one of my sites, DrDickSexAdvice.com or DrDickSexToyReviews.com, and look for the donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift, excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. And now I'm processing donations with PayPal, so it's even easier than before to make your contribution. Before we turn our attention to my correspondence, I want to remind you of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline. It's at 866-422-5680. Got a question or comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call? It's free. It's 866-422-5680. And no need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human's going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show. Today's first correspondent is Adriana. She's 23. We don't know where she writes from. She says, I'm a new mother. My son was born 6 weeks ago, and already he is the center of my world. As joyful an occasion as this is, it has put a strain on my relationship with my husband. He's just as in awe of our baby as I am, but he wants to resume our sex life, and I'm not ready. I know I'm sleep-deprived, what with all the feedings and all. By the way, I am breastfeeding. My body is still misshapen from the pregnancy, and I'm not feeling too sexy at the moment. I love my husband, and I would like to please him, but I don't have it in me at the moment. What should I do? Let me tell you, Adriana, what I tell all the women who write to me with a similar complaint. In the immortal words of Prissy in Gone with the Wind, I know nothing about birthing babies. And, oh boy, howdy, you are not alone in your postnatal distress. First of all, congratulations on the birth of your son. You don't mention his weight at birth, but everyone here is betting that he was pretty hefty. Us boys tend to give our mamas a hard time right from the get-go. At least that's what my own dear mither used to say. I'm also going to make another assumption, that this is your first child, right? Well, the size of the baby, as well as the number of children a woman has carried, certainly affect the elasticity of her vagina. No rocket science there, I suppose. Birthing babies is pretty much traumatic to all of your pelvic musculature. These muscles lose tone with every successive delivery. But never fail, darling. There is a muscle toning exercise known as Kegels that will help you tighten things up in a jiffy. Excuse me for a moment, Adriana. I think I'm losing my male listeners here. Here's a tip for you guys out there who are listening to this and rolling your eyes and getting ready to tune me out because you think that this is some kind of Oprah vajayjay moment. Listen up, you monkeys. Kegel exercises aren't just for the ladies. Us men folks have pelvic muscles too, so pay attention. You're going to want to know about Kegels as well. Sorry about that, Adriana. See what I mean about boys giving folks not only their mama's problems? Anyway, if you're not already doing Kegels, I strongly recommend that you start right away. What is a Kegel exercise, you might be asking? Why, they're muscle contraction and relaxation exercises designed to help you restore tone to the muscles that surround the opening of your urethra. See, guys, we have one of those. Vagina. Okay, we don't have one of those. And anus. We sure as hell have one of those. Since these muscles also include the muscle that you use to stop and start the flow of urine, you can check to see if you have identified the right muscle by testing your Kegel techniques while urinating. If you can stop the flow of urine while tightening, then you know that you're contracting the correct muscle group. By the way, the main muscle is called the pubococcygeus muscle, or PC muscle for short. Let's try this for starter. Imagine that you are trying to stop yourself from farting or trying to hold your pee. Notice the feeling of squeezing and lifting. It's a sensation of your pelvic muscles tightening and drawing up. Now, try this while you're listening to me. That's the beauty part of Kegels. You can do them anywhere, anytime. If you're finding it difficult to isolate the muscle group, insert a finger into your vagina before doing a Kegel. If you feel pressure around your finger while you are tensing your PC muscle, then you're right on track. However, if you're tightening your abs, squeezing your legs together, clenching your butt, or holding your breath, then you are not exercising the right muscle group. The object here is to isolate your pelvic floor muscles. Those are the ones that you want to be working. Now, I want everyone, not just you, Adriana, to work on both muscles, strength and tone. Start with 5 strong prolonged squeezes, 5 seconds apiece. Hold, then relax. Then do a series of 10 rapid contractions in a row, doing 3 sets of these 2 types of Kegels twice a day for a week is your goal. Now, let's go over that one more time. Start with 5 strong, prolonged squeezes, 5 seconds apiece. Hold, then relax. Then do a series of 10 rapid contractions in a row, doing 3 sets of these 2 types of Kegels twice a day for a week is your goal. And when you've accomplished this, you're ready to increase the set to 8 or 10 prolonged squeezes and 20 rapid contractions in a set twice a day for a week. The advanced kegler is able to vary the type and duration of his or her PC squeezing, slow, prolonged clenches, and quick flutters at will. On to the other issues you raise. Your uterus and cervix underwent a significant change as you were delivering your baby, and they need time to heal. So if your husband is being a bigger baby than your newborn, see what I mean about boys driving their mamas and everyone else crazy? By pressuring you for nookie, make a deal with him. Hand jobs and blowjobs only until you're feeling up for a full-on fuckfest. Don't get me wrong, I sure as hell can sympathize with the big galoot. He's probably nutty from having lack of nookie. How long has it been since he's had some of your fine pussy? Finally, breastfeeding may also interfere with your libido, but more likely it's just sheer exhaustion of this postpartum period. Nursing your baby every couple of hours, especially during the middle of the night, I mean, how long can that go on before you start looking for your Uzi? And probably the idea of your husband grabbing your boobs while they're still real sore from Junior chomping away at them probably doesn't incite great waves of horniness either. Rest assured, this lack of interest in sex won't last forever. Before you know it, you'll be feeling all pretty and randy once again, and soon you'll be inviting and welcoming your hubby's advances. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Okay, next we hear from Jason, who's 17 and writes from Houston, Texas. I think I jack off too much. Sometimes I beat off 4 or 5 times a day. Sometimes, at least the last time I come, hardly anything comes out. I'm afraid that I will run out of sperm. Holy cow, Jason. You're going to pull that dick right off your body if you keep up this furious rate of pulling your bud. Actually, I'm just joshing you about that. Lots of guys your age are spanking the monkey at least as frequently as you are, and if the truth be told, there are a lot of men considerably older than you who are also wanking like there's no tomorrow. That being said, I do have a few words of caution for you. I hope you are not manhandling your cock during your jerk-off sessions. A death grip on your unit during these solo sessions will surely impair you for partnered sex later. No vagina or asshole is going to provide you that same kind of friction as your death grip, and thus you may have problems getting off with a partner. The second suggestion I have for you is that you care for your dick while you beat off. I think you should be using some kind of lubricant for at least some of your sessions. The skin on your willy is delicate and can become abraded if you're not moisturizing it and lubricating it to cut down on some of the hand-to-cock friction. Besides, using a wet hand for your self-pleasuring is a totally different experience than using a dry hand. And sure enough, if you're coming 4 or 5 times a day, you can be sure that you are depleting your store of ejaculate. But here's something that you should know. Sperm makes up only a fraction of your spunk. Semen is the scientific name for the male ejaculate. However, we here at Dr. Dick's Sex Advice like to refer to this man juice as spooge, jizz, or cum. Semen contains sperm, which is, of course, produced in your testicles. It also contains a complex soup called seminal fluid, which is produced by your body's various sex glands. But despite the complexity, jizz is 90% water. So it's always good to remain hydrated while you're beating your dick to a pulp. Your most important sex gland, the seminal vesicles, produce about 70% of cum. The seminal fluid is viscous and alkaline. The alkaline quality is very important because it neutralizes the acidic environment of your urethra and a woman's vagina, which would otherwise kill your little spermlets or at least make them inactive. and what good is inactive sperm, I ask you? This seminal fluid also contains a simple sugar which provides energy for your sperm buddies that they need to survive and wiggle like crazy. Oh, and pre-cum, that stuff that often dribbles out of your man meat while you're being aroused, comes from the Kuiper's gland, and it too paves the way for a healthy ride for your little spermies. About 25% of the volume of your spooge comes from your prostate gland. This gives your spunk that milky appearance. Your prostate also adds substances which increase your baby seed's survival rate and their ability to move about like crazy. Now here's the good news. Recent studies show that frequent ejaculation actually improves sperm quality. Men who want to become fathers should have sex or ejaculate daily in order to maximize sperm quality. Daily ejaculation not only boosts sperm quality for most men, it also helps sperm motility, another big factor in successful fertilization, even though volumes of semen declined. On average, a man ejaculates between 2.5 and 5 milliliters of jizz, which contains about 50 to 150 million sperm per milliliter. Just think of that next time you shoot your wad into a dirty sock or a wadded up Kleenex. If a dude's sperm count falls between 20 million per milliliter, he's likely to be infertile, or as we like to call it, shooting blanks. The amount of goop a guy shoots varies greatly and has lots to do with how long his arousal period lasts before he shoots. You see, the longer the arousal period, the more time there is for your fluids to build up. That's why Dr. Dick always suggests a nice long foreplay session. The more buildup of spooge, the greater the increase there will be in the strength of your ejaculatory contractions, which in turn makes for a more intense orgasm. You will also notice that I'm going way out of my way to separate these two events, ejaculation and orgasm. For a lot of guys, they happen simultaneously, but for the lucky few, those who practice the art of Tantra, for example, multiple orgasms are possible before the ejaculation. You'll notice your spunk tends to be sticky and thick right after you blow your load, but soon thereafter it begins to separate and become more runny. This is pretty normal. It is also normal for the color and texture of your jizz to vary from time to time. Sometimes it can be really milky, and sometimes it's clearer with only streaks of milkiness in it. It can also contain gelatinous globules from time to time. And a lot of this has to do with how hydrated you are, how many times you've come lately, and, of course, your age. Spooge production diminishes as we age. And if you're choking the chicken a lot, your sperm count will be low, and the amount of jizz you produce will be less. But as you age, testosterone levels, nutrition, and especially hydration play a big part in that too. So just remember, a low sperm count is not the same thing as a diminished volume of cum. And don't worry, you're not going to run out of sperm anytime soon. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Write it down. It's 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Karen, who's 20, writes from Colorado. She asks, why do people have sex? Well, that's pretty succinct. And besides being right to the point, it's a damned good question, Karen. You know, since us humans have had the ability to communicate by way of illustrations, as well as words, we have been cataloging the multitudinous ways we are able to have sex. Sex manuals have been around for as nearly as long as we have been writing stuff down. Scientists have studied human sexuality till we're blue in the face. We know about all there is to know about the mechanics of sexual coupling, but we often are woefully uninformed about why we bother. Obviously, one of the big reasons why people have sex is to breed. But these days, particularly with the advent of effective methods of contraception, we are able to include or exclude our breeding potential at will. So let's look at some of the other reasons why people say they have sex. One would think that the list of motivations would be pretty obvious. But I'd be willing to speculate that we could never completely categorize all of the reasons. There are simply way too many variables. Everyone who has sex, either alone or with a partner or partners, has probably a list of reasons for engaging in this very human activity. And these reasons shift and change with circumstance. I speculate that no two sex acts are precisely the same, at least not in terms of motivation. You multiply the number of people having sex at any given time by the number of sex acts, and you begin to see what I mean. That being said, I'd like to think that we could give your question an answer, at least in terms of some broad motivational categories. Did you know that some people say that they have sex to get rid of a headache? Others say it helps them fall asleep. Also, people report that it makes them feel attractive or bolsters their self-esteem. There is, of course, the mercy fuck. One can just as easily harm a person with sex as love them. Sex can give you a sense of power, or you can relegate the power to a partner. You can burn calories having sex, and it will warm you up if you are cold. You can have sex as an experiment, to learn something new about yourself or your partner's body. People have sex because they are coerced into it, deceived into it, because they are in love, or on a dare. People continue to have sex because it feels good. It's fun. It relieves tension, and it's a mighty fine way to handle boredom, too. Some people have sex because it's a commodity. It can be bought and sold like any other product or service. There's also the status fuck. One can give social status by sex or gain social status by sex. As you probably well know, sex can enhance or ruin a reputation. Some folks have sex simply because it's available. People have sex with a partner because they like the way they look. He or she has beautiful eyes, a hot body, or a good kisser. But then there are those among us who simply want to get off. Some folks have a goal in mind. I want to score. I want to repay a cheating partner. I want to steal someone else's partner. Maybe it's just because I can. There are those who want to say something with their fuck. You belong to me. I'm yours. I love you. Thank you for being a friend. Or, I'd like to get to know you better. Sometimes it's duty sex. I'm not all that much into it, but I know you are, so I'll grin and bear it. Sometimes it's to ward off an impending disaster. You know, if I don't fuck my partner, he or she will surely take his or her business elsewhere. Some folks are just curious. I wonder what that would feel like. I wonder what this will do to my partner. Some people think quantity is more important than quality. Get as much as you can while you can. Some use sex to conquer the unwilling. The list goes on and on. In fact, I'm going to open this topic up for further discussion. So all of you people out there in my audience, why not weigh in and let me know why you have sex? Your comments to this posting are welcome and encouraged. Good luck. And now I have that little bonus material that I mentioned at the beginning of our podcast together. This is in celebration of my podcasting anniversary. I bring you yet another installment in my acclaimed sexual enrichment programming. Today's topic is how to make your own adult video. So, sex fans, I'm delighted to know that so many of you out there are budding porn directors and or porn stars. Judging from the number of questions I get from all you perverts in my audience, I'm guessing that the availability of quality digital cameras and the ease of video editing software, as well as the proliferation of sites that offer the do-it-yourself crowd a venue for sharing their handiwork, has opened the door for lots of homemade creativity. Good for y'all! Some of you are even toying with the idea of marketing your smut. Well then. Since I'm the founder of my very own video production company, Daddy O Productions, I'm frequently asked to offer workshops on this very topic. Today, I'm going to distill a day-long workshop into a short presentation. I want to highlight the things that you should consider before you call lights, camera, action! About 15 years ago, a new genre of porn began to appear in the marketplace. It was called gonzo porn. It had a studied amateur look to it so that it was supposed to appeal to the growing demographic that was looking for an alternative to the cliched silicon world of regular porn. It became very popular very quickly. A natural response to this gonzo phenomenon was also what we in the business called user-generated content, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Making a homemade porn video is really very easy, at least relatively speaking. What to do with the material after it's made is quite another problem. While making your own porn video might seem like a reasonable idea in the heat of the moment and after a few glasses of wine, watching that video in the cold light of day the next morning may not necessarily be quite as erotic. So, burgeoning directors and stars, beware. There can be a high price to pay for a momentary lapse in judgment. I always tell people in my workshops to consider the divorce rate before they ever consider bringing a camera into the bedroom. Also, if you're thinking of including others besides yourself and your significant other in your movie-making magic, be sure to know what's legal in your jurisdiction. If you have any questions about this, consult an attorney before you take off the lens cap. Things to consider are zoning ordinances, unnatural acts laws, sodomy laws, prostitution laws, and community standard laws or obscenity laws. A violation of any of these statutes could land you in jail, so I suggest that you be informed and be careful. A very important legal facet, if not the most important, is obtaining proper identification from every single person appearing in your video, whether they're having sex or not. You will need to show proof of age should anyone question you about that. All your models must be at least 18 years of age, and in some states the age is 21, and if you don't know the age of consent in your state, you're not ready to start shooting. In order to obtain proper identification, you must make legible copies of a valid ID. Valid ID is defined as the following: a photo state-issued ID, a photo driver's license, a photo military ID, or a passport. Anything else is not a valid ID, and there should be no discussion of accepting anything different. I always advise that you get a second form of ID to provide additional documentation. And once the appropriate IDs are obtained, make at least two legible hard copies for your records. We at Daddy-O Productions make an electronic scan as a digital backup, as well as the paper copies. Another legal requirement that protects both you and your models is a signed and dated model release form. Believe me when I say this, even if you are working with close friends or relatives, you should insist on a signed and dated model release form. When you're ready to shoot, always use a video log. This will help you keep track of what you shoot. This may not sound like an important thing to you at the time of shooting, but come time for editing and most everyone needs to do some editing on their rough content, you'll be glad you went the extra mile and documented your shoot. Another important thing is lighting your project. It's almost impossible to have too much light for a shoot, but it's very easy to have too little. Remember that what the camera sees and what you see with regarding to lighting can be very different. Here's a tip. Halogen work lamps and halogen floor lamps can be good, expensive places to start. Because you're just getting your toes wet, I don't suggest that you invest in expensive lighting setups, but I do suggest that you have plenty of lighting on hand. Finding a location. Since you are doing a homemade video, a home setting, bedroom, living room, or bathroom, is an ideal location. A motel room can't also be a hot film set, but you should be mindful of the legal issues involved. If you're busted by the motel staff, that happens more frequently than you care to think, you could be in a lot of hot water. Also, you have to schlep all your own lighting. Motel room lighting is the worst. If you're going to be adventurous and include other people other than yourself in your movie, finding models can be tricky. We've already covered the legal age and valid ID issues, so I won't repeat myself here. There are many different methods of finding models. Many people use model search websites like adulthire.com. Some folks ask the people they've been having sex with. Some place ads in local alternative papers. Once you've found your models, remember to treat him or her with respect and professionalism, and then pay them. This is particularly important for anyone who aspires to sell the content he or she shoots. All model payment transactions should be clearly documented, so cutting a check is the best method. What you pay your models will depend on a lot of variables, like, what's your budget? Is your model new to the business, or is he or she an industry veteran? What kind of sex do you expect your model to perform? Will you pay a flat fee or hourly? Don't be a skeeze and try to sell your models on a revenue share scheme. That's just stupid. And never screw a model out of a payment that is rightfully his or hers. Once you're ready to shoot, the best advice I can give you is give the models some limited amount of direction and start filming everything that you see and hear. Start off with the vanilla scenes. Film everything you can, because it's so much easier to edit something out of a video than it is to insert something you haven't recorded. Some of the learning that you will do in this process will come from the mistakes you make. But we've all been there, so just do the best that you can. In terms of content, I always suggest that one try to do something unique or film in an inspired way. If you can't do that, at least attempt to avoid as many of the porn cliches that you can. And that in itself will be a monumental task, because porn, by its very nature, is all about cliches. I also encourage you to have a sense of humor about the smut you produce. Have some fun with your project. If the sex you portray is all work and no play, you will have a bomb on your hands. I'm of the mind that the novice filmmaker avoid close-ups of parts bumping. There are two reasons for that. They are nearly impossible to light, and they are often inelegant, especially if you're shooting in high def. If you see every razor burn, pimple, and blemish, that's going to be much more distracting than it is arousing. Encourage your performers to celebrate their sexuality. If you can, try and capture the entire sexual encounter from meeting to making out to clothes coming off. Pay some attention to your performer's sexual response. A sex flush, curling toes, erect nipples. Your model's face should tell your audience as much or more about the sex than their naughty parts. Here's another tip. A little coyness goes a long way, so don't overdo that. Have your performers show the camera how much they are enjoying the sex. It's precisely this that makes homemade porn so compelling. The next thing you need to do is edit the footage. Edit out any copyrighted infringements, people for whom you do not have model releases, or anything that may be deemed obscene or questionable. If you're going to add music or dubbing of any sort, this is where you'll do it. But remember, don't use copyrighted material. And if your masterwork is strictly for your own consumption, you're pretty much done. If you plan to upload your content to the internet for others to see, be sure that you have the written permission of all of your models. If you plan to market your product for the general public, well then, let's just say your headaches haven't even begun yet. And perhaps I'll address this issue in a follow-up presentation, but I'm going to pass on that now. Good luck! Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews. Simply put, my friends, I need your help to continue to provide shows like this one. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you, infrastructure and administrative costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and hear, if you enjoy all the wonderful features of DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. There are no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees, and you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to supporting this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. I thank you in advance for your generosity. And look for the donate icon, the blue-shaped heart, and donate today. Until next time, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.